Counsel versus counseling on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Jeremy Prey. He's the pastor of biblical counseling at North Creek Church in Walnut Creek, California. And he's an ACBC certified counselor. He's also an ACBC fellow candidate. Looking forward to him finishing that role, helping us as we train additional counselors. In addition to overseeing North Creek's robust counseling ministry, he also oversees various other adult ministries there. He spent 15 years in the construction industry as a project manager, but in 2017, he transitioned from the marketplace to vocational ministry. He has a Master of Divinity from the Master's Seminary, and he's the author of one of our ACBC booklets called Infertility and Miscarriage. He has been married to his lovely wife, Haley, since 2005, and they have four children. Jeremy, welcome to the podcast, brother. So grateful for you.
Thanks, Dale. Thanks for having me.
Listen, this will be an interesting conversation as we talk about the ideas of counsel versus counseling. And I appreciate the way that you're even setting some of this out. I think this could be a really interesting conversation. There's a lot of confusion as it relates to this word counseling and how we think about it. It's certainly been modernized. And with that idea of counseling, there have been so much baggage that's been infused with this term and this idea and what's expected when we think about counseling in terms of, you know, talk therapy and the whole psychotherapeutic world. Interested to see how we're going to go here. So let's just talk about these terms and sort of lay out what we mean and how we would distinguish between the terms counsel and counseling.
Yeah, well, there's different ways that we can use the words and highlight different things. And we could even say that, you know, counsel, it's obvious, counsel is the content, counseling is the process, but that's not actually how I'm using the words here. That's not how we use those words around our ministry. And so I'll explain it here as we go. I think it's helpful to break it into several categories. I think the idea of counsel versus counseling can be helpful within the private setting. So like behind closed doors, when one person is counseling another person, you could think about it in that way. But it's also helpful to think about counsel versus counseling when we're talking about ministry as a whole, when we're deciding who and how to help people in need. So let me start with the latter, the broader ministry perspective first, because I think that's also going to provide some context and make the private side a little bit easier to understand. And just to let people know where I'm headed, I'd probably be helpful to make more of a banner statement. So it's this: just because someone says that they need help or counsel on an issue in life doesn't mean that they should enter into or continue in formal biblical counseling, you know, where you're meeting weekly and homework is assigned. Or if you want to say it more simply, just because someone asks for counseling doesn't mean that they need it. So I want to explain what I mean and how I've arrived at this place with a personal story. About 7 years ago, you mentioned it at the introduction, I came out of the marketplace, entered into vocational ministry. My role was and still is the pastor of biblical counseling. Now, I came into a well-established ministry. About 45 people were counseling at that time, actively counseling. Now we have more, but that's what I came into. Many of the men and women that were counseling there have been doing it for years. And so my job, among other things, was to handle the initial requests for counseling that would come in. Now, we're well-known in our community, so it's people from within our church and nearby churches and even some unsaved people. So my job was to do some initial triage and then assign those counselees to a counselor. And we always had a waiting list. We still do to this day. So every week I'd come in and I'd be looking at a list of like 15 to 20 people, people that asked for some kind of help in some fashion, varying degrees of seriousness. But my goal was just to get that waiting list down as low as possible because some of the people were waiting for months. And so my efforts early on in ministry went mostly towards just beating the bushes, so to speak, like making sure that all the counselors were counseling as many cases that they could handle. But what I soon realized was some of my tactics were burning out our counselors, not saying that they were doing, but rather the types of counselees that they were getting. What they were telling me is that their new counselees weren't that committed to the process. They'd have one meeting, it would go well, they'd assign homework, but the counselee would just kind of ghost them from that point. They'd show up for a second meeting sometimes, but you know, rarely having done the work. And I found that our counselors were saying, like, where are all the committed people? And me early on in ministry, I'm like, well, that's a good question. Probably I'll look into that. Not all the counselees were like this, but I had enough comments from our experienced counselors that signaled to me that I had some work to do to improve our triage system. And that's when I started thinking about the difference between the terms of counsel and counseling.
Now, you brought up this triage system, and I'm sure that has a lot of people intrigued. And I want you to talk a little bit about the triage system itself, and then what changed about it, and how do you think that affected your church and your counseling ministry?
Yeah, generally speaking, in the past, people would call, let's just say they call the church's main number, and they say, like, I got this situation going on, and I need help. And just simply because they check the proverbial box of, you know, someone in need, whoever took the call, usually without that many triage questions, would say, hey, we have a really strong biblical counseling ministry, or we actually even have a pastor of biblical counseling. Let me transfer you. And that wasn't good. But I couldn't blame it all on the receptionist, because I was the one that was actually perpetuating the problem myself. Because once I'd come to the biblical counseling ministry, the call, or even sometimes the person would come in, I didn't really do that good of a job with the triage, the initial triage either. I just like wave them through as quickly as possible. Hey, we got Joe over here. He can take a counseling, go talk with him. But what ended up happening is the Lord in his kindness was just so patient with me, just helped me apply the word of God to myself. It's funny, the truths that I was actually teaching to other people. And that's this. The church as a whole is meant to care for one another. Pastors are meant to care for one another, right? That's 1 Peter 5. Church members are supposed to care for one another. There's no verse or no concept in scripture that indicates that all matters of care fall solely on a particular ministry or even on one person. That shouldn't be our default move. But that's kind of what was happening in our church. I mean, we know this. The whole church is responsible to care for one another. And I knew this. I was actually teaching this, but I wasn't applying it on our day-to-day ministry. And so to answer your question, what's changed now? Now, when someone calls in the church, whoever takes the call should be discerning who within the church should be first up. Has this person talked to their community group leader? Have they contacted their pastor or leader who has direct oversight over them? If they're from another church, have they talked to their own pastor? I'm always amazed at how many people have not even thought about that. But I also think it's helpful if we just personalize this for a second. What about when someone brings an issue to us in the hallway? Or you're sitting down over coffee and all of a sudden things kind of start to get a little bit more serious. Well, I would say, like, tag, you're it. You're the first one in. You're the one that's supposed to provide counsel. We would say biblical counsel, right? Counsel that's in accordance with the word. Then if they need more than you can offer, or if you're not in the best position to continue, then you just need to figure out who is. Who from within the church body is already in their life from a leadership capacity that can and should provide counsel. So that's what I'm using the term counsel there. And then after all that plays out, if they still need ongoing acute care or help for a particular issue, I like to use the language of Galatians 6:1, if they're caught, or you can even say if they're stuck in a sin, then we should feel free to pass them off to whoever might be within the biblical counseling ministry to do counseling. So your counsel, and then when all those other things are exhausted and we need someone that's going to provide some more thorough help or maybe more experienced help, then we move them to counseling. Now, I know as soon as I say that, some people are going to say, well, our church doesn't have a formal counseling ministry. I mean, I hear that all the time. That might be true, but I think the point still stands. Just don't punt so quickly. Don't shortcut the other members and leaders in the church that are within their circle. And don't assume that every hard situation requires formal counseling either. So if I could bring it back to my own shortcomings, just what I learned, I was just like waving people through without discerning, like, wait, hold on. Are they asking for counsel? Do they just have a couple questions? Or do they need ongoing counseling? So like, do they just need advice? That's what I would call counsel. Are they just needing encouragement? That's counsel. Do they just need practical help? Counsel. Now, if they're going to do all those things, they don't need to fill out a PDI. They don't need to sign a consent form. That's just what the church does. And this is definitely what pastors and leaders do. Or do they need ongoing help with dealing with an acute issue? That's counseling. Do they need intensive discipleship because they're quote unquote stuck? That's counseling. Are they in a situation where their suffering is significant and someone's going to need to devote some serious time to walk alongside them through a trial? That's counseling. Perhaps it'd be helpful to think about it this way and to use our common biblical counseling training language. This is all what we're talking about with gaining a commitment. I mean, only we're not just discerning whether or not they're willing to put in the work. We're also discerning who within the church is the most appropriate person to jump in first. So biblical counseling is great. It's very helpful. But dare I say this, that not everyone needs it. Not everyone is stuck. And so just because a biblical counseling ministry might be fruitful, it doesn't mean that every cry for help means that we automatically send them there.
Man, I appreciate that. That's really, you know, well distinguished. And I think it's these are categories that we should be thinking about. And I'm going to give you a couple of things, but I want you to give a personal testimony related to these concepts of counsel and counseling. But before you do that, I want to make some of those distinctions and highlight those. What you're describing, Jeremy, I think really protects the church itself, honestly. So it really does at least two things, if not more than that, at least does two things. The first thing is it starts forcing your people who are doing the triage or when they encounter someone who you know, has some sort of need to start thinking first about the church. You know, one of my convictions is that we've trained people to think about the church as a last resort for help. What you're training people to do in this triage mentality is to think about, you know what, there are people or places or ministries in the church that can work with these people to help them in terms of counsel. The other thing it does is sometimes we get really excited about a counseling ministry. And as we grow a counseling ministry, what we start seeing is it's taking away some of the vitality of the church. That's never the intention. The counseling ministry should never replace the ongoing soul care that God intends to happen as a part of the fellowship of the church with the one another's. And so it's really your ideas of triage here and distinguishing these two things. It helps the church to flourish in what we're called to do, and it protects the church so that we can continue to do some of these ideas. I love that. So now, Jeremy, what I want you to do is to describe this idea of triage a little bit further. Let's give it some practicality here. Okay, so you're in the counseling room with somebody, and do these concepts still work out in your mind? Do you use these concepts, or is this just sort of things that guide the ministry at a 30,000 foot level? Are these concepts that you're bringing into the counseling room? How does something like that look?
When it comes to the personal side, we could say like behind closed doors in the actual counseling setting, I still think the concept of counsel versus counseling is a helpful distinction to make. And let me describe what I mean. There's a concept and a diagram out there that I think explains this dynamic well, though not using those terms. And I think I first saw Stuart Scott draw this diagram, or he used it on his slides, I think. I don't know who first came up with it, but I'll give him the credit here. It's a drawing of like a river flowing from left to right. On the right-hand side, where it's flowing to is you draw a cross, right? This is the idea of all believers are in the river. They're on the move, becoming more like Christ in their sanctification. There's little rapids here and there, little rocks that we hit, but we keep moving down the river in our sanctification. That indicates that the sanctification process is not over until we're glorified. But in that particular diagram, what's drawn is at the bottom of it, on the edge of the river, is an eddy. It's like a rock with a little eddy. And there's some Christians that are stuck in this eddy, some trial in life, it could be from sin or suffering, or something's not allowing them to continue on in the sanctification process, humanly speaking, right? To use the words of Galatians 6:1, they're just caught or they're stuck in a trespass. They're in the eddy. Counseling is reserved for those who are in the eddy. Counsel is for those that are in the river and in need. So, and keep in mind, the river goes on until we're with the Lord in heaven. We're going to hit bumps and we're going to need counsel from time to time, but we're not in constant need of counseling, to use the word that way. So hopefully you're able to understand the diagram, even though I'm not able to draw it for you. I had a boss that said, this is like getting a haircut over the phone. So hopefully you can understand that. Let me give you two quick scenarios to illustrate how I think this is helpful. So first, let's just say that you're in a meeting with someone for counseling, assuming that you're a trained counselor. Now, after you spend ample time hearing someone and they're explaining their situation, they're saying why they're asking for help, sometimes you'll find yourself thinking like, yeah, the word does have answers for your questions here, but honestly, this is just normal life. They just need general discipleship, not ongoing formal counseling. And in those cases, I think that you would do well to pass them off to another member of the church who can jump in and help so that you can, again, this is assuming you're a trained counselor that's done some equipping, so that you can jump back into someone who truly is stuck. But let's consider the other end of the spectrum. Let's assume that when they came in, it was obvious that they were in the eddy. They were truly stuck. They needed counseling to be sure. But let's just assume for a second that by God's grace, they've been responding well to the word. I think you'd do well in that situation to ask yourself, hey, from this point forward, do they need counsel or counseling? Are they coming out of the eddy? Are they out of the eddy? Because if it's counsel, like they're not stuck anymore, then I think that it's wise to pass them off to another believer in the church who can then carry them through life's ups and downs. But if it's counseling, like they're still stuck in some way, well, then you're still going. Keep counseling. Your job isn't done yet. Now, there's a lot more I could say about that. It doesn't cover everything, but it covers the bases. These are just some of the lessons that I've learned of how you can even just apply the counsel versus counseling even within the private setting. And sometimes it can be really freeing for both, honestly, the counselor and the counselee, knowing like, when are we done? What are we doing here? And so perhaps that perspective can be helpful for people to think through.
I think so. And I think you're highlighting the beauty of the local church and what the church, God has called the church to do. And you're still allowing organizational processes for that to happen. And you're using a specific triage and categories to help make sense of that. You know, this is helpful on a lot of levels, as I mentioned, with the allowing the church to flourish as God intended the church to do in terms of soul care. But it's also on a micro level, I think, in our counseling room, where we do feel permission to, there's a process and a flow to counseling where we're trying to assimilate people back into the normal flow of the body of Christ and the normal processes of care. I think this model that you're describing really lends to that, giving us a lot to think about, especially those who are formerly doing counseling at a church and trying to think through triaging. I know it'll be a blessing to all of you. Jeremy, thanks for your work in this and thanks for communicating it to us.
Thanks again for having me, Dale.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. Hey, y'all, I wanted to take some time today to remind you about some new booklets that we released. If you remember, we've been in a pattern the last several years releasing new booklets that are written specifically for our counselors, trying to encourage them in different issues. We have two different types of booklets. We have a biblical solution series where we're trying to give biblical solutions for the problems that people face. And we are addressing this year, Counseling the Abusive Husband. This is written by Tony Anderson. And I'm so delighted that this is added to our treasure trove of booklets now that are resources, wonderful resources that are helping our counselors think through some of these difficult issues that are coming up in counseling currently. And this is a new booklet that we've added to our solutions series. If you remember, we've also done a different type of series called our evaluation series. And what we're trying to do there is to evaluate different ideas that are out there in the counseling world to help our counselors understand how to think about those theories, those methods biblically. And we added four of these particular booklets this year, and I don't want you to miss them. I want you to be aware of them. The first one is addressing the issue of gentle parenting. And this is such a hot topic where we're seeing so popular in today's world. We need to think biblically about some of these ideas. The second one is on sexual orientation and gender identity. What a pervasive topic where we're seeing different types of ordinances all around the country that are addressing these issues. And we need to be in prayer about these, but we also need to know how to handle these biblically as we care for those who seem very deeply confused and disoriented about God's design for them. The third one, which is very popular today, especially in related to trauma, is understanding EMDR. There's so much confusion about this type of therapy, eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy. We've written a helpful booklet that is an evaluation of that from a biblical perspective. And then the final one, also related to trauma, is titled Dysregulated Nervous System. And this is all about the polyvagal theory. And so if you're interested in some of those topics, I want to encourage you to get your hands on some of these new booklets, either through the Biblical Solution Series or the Biblical Evaluation Series. I think you'll find it helpful as we try to think biblically about all of these topics. And you can find more information about all of our booklets and these new releases at biblicalcounseling.com.